Good morning, and welcome to the SQM Fourth Quarter Earnings Conference Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Gerardo Llanes, the Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to SQM's Fourth Quarter 2018 Earnings Conference Call. For your information, this conference call will be recorded and is being webcast live. You may access the webcast later on at our website, www.sqm.com. Joining me today as speaker is Ricardo Ramos, Chief Executive Officer. Before we begin, let me remind you that statements in this conference concerning the company's business outlook, future economic performance, anticipated profitability, revenues, expenses, or other financial items, anticipated cost synergies and product or service line growth, together with other statements that are not historical facts, are forward-looking statements, as that term is defined under federal securities law. Any forward-looking statements are estimates reflecting the best judgment of SQM based on currently available information and involve a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those stated in such statements. Risks, uncertainties, and factors that could affect the accuracy of such forward-looking statements are identified in the public filings made with the Securities and Exchange Commission, and forward-looking statements should be considered in light of those factors. I will now leave you with our Chief Executive Officer, Ricardo Ramos, for brief comments before we move to Q&A.
Thank you, Gerardo. Last night, we posted our results for 2018. Our net income reached almost $440 million. This was a slight increase compared to earnings reported in 2017. Our higher sales volumes in SPN, higher sales volumes and prices in iodine, and higher average prices in lithium contributed to our 2018 results. The lithium market is surrounded, as you may know, by positive news. Full electric vehicle penetration levels reach approximately 2%, and these rates are expected to grow rapidly in the future. Demand growth in 2018 surprised us again, surpassing 27%. And is expected to grow at rates above 20% in 2019. Beyond 2019, demand growth continues to look extremely healthy, making us believe that the 1 million ton per year lithium market that may happen sooner than originally anticipated. The lithium market is a dynamic one, and one of my main priorities is maximizing value in this space. As was expected, new supply is coming into the market, making it more difficult for us to capture the price premium that we had in 2018, as we stated yesterday. There are several lithium grades of different qualities available in the market, and not all products are sold at the same price. We believe that our sales volumes in 2019 will be slightly higher than those reported in 2018, just under 50,000 metric tons. Bear in mind, it is very difficult to project our sales volume in 2019 and 2020 as it depends on supply and demand equilibrium. Also, the timing of the start and the ramp up of new projects is difficult to assess. The other markets in which we participate remain strong. In the iodine market, prices reach almost $26 per kilogram in the fourth quarter 2018. Exceeding expectations, and we report record sales volumes for the year. In fact, contribution to gross profit from the iodine business line over doubled in 2018 when compared to 2017. The gross profit associated with the specialty plant nutrition business line increased by approximately 20% this year when compared to last year. Before opening the line for questions, I want to thank you, all our people in the north of Chile, for the help they have provided to the local communities as they recover from the impacts of the heavy rain since in the region in recent weeks. We thank you for joining our call today, and we will now open the lines up for questions.
We will now begin the Q&A session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. The first question comes from Joel Jackson with BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Congrats, Ricardo and Gerardo, on your new positions. I had a few questions on lithium that are a little confusing. What is your current expected lithium production for 2019? We all thought it'd be about 70,000 tons. You said you will sell about less than 50,000 tons. You talk about inventory build. So how much inventory will you build, and how much will you produce in 2019? And if it's a lot less than 70,000 tons, can you let us know what's happening? Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. First of all, as we stated in the press release, we think our volume sales in 2018 will be slightly higher than 50,000 metric tons. Will be slightly higher than 2018. It means close to 50,000 metric tons. And we have a total capacity, the one that we built during 2018, close to 70,000 metric tons. We know that part of our strategy is to have this spare capacity and to continue to grow. Next step will be the 120,000 that we are working as we speak today. The procurement of some of the equipment is already done. We're working on it. And the third step will be moving forward to the 180,000 metric tons. From the build of inventory, we don't know exactly what is going to be the total inventory of building inventory in 2019, but of course we will produce more than our expected sales. It was part of our strategy. We want to recover some inventory. I think having some strategic inventory in the future is a way to have more flexibility. The same reason we want to have some spare capacity, not only this year, 2019, we expect to have a spare capacity in every single year in the future in order to be ready and to have the flexibility to the uncertainty in the market. But certainly this year we will produce, we expect more than 60,000 metric tons, and the difference between sales and production will go to the inventory growth.
Okay, that's helpful. Do you feel the need this year to balance the market? Is that based in your projections that you can't produce? Let me try this again. Could you produce 70,000 tons this year if you want to, but you choose to produce a little bit more than 60 to balance the market in view of your the new supply coming on?
First, I don't want to confuse production with sales. Our decision to sell the volumes that are already explained seems slightly higher than the year 2018. This decision is not a decision, it's what we expect to be an equilibrium between supply and demand. As you know, we stated in the press release and we stated now, we are very optimistic about the demand of lithium in the long term. Anyway, I want to be very clear that we think we have a very good estimate about the different new lithium projects coming on the market, either the ones on the development and the ones under the study. And we follow all the announcements relative to projected capacity increase from current players. But again, we strongly believe in the long-term demand projections. Even if it sounds strange, our projections of the sales volumes in the relatively short term, it means in the next 30 months, is more difficult than long-term projections. That's something very difficult, because even though we have good estimates about potential capacities of the different lithium projects, there are significant uncertainties about the date, the initial quality and the start of those volumes of those projects. The industry has really a negative track record in their projected dates and volumes of their initial production, and that is a fact. Anyway, I'm really proud of OSCE's track record in that matter. That's the reason why, even though we said that we expect a slightly higher sales volume, it will depend what's going on in the second semester of this year. It's difficult to know because it depends on these new projects. But again, this estimate is what we think is the reasonable supply and demand equilibrium for all the different players that are today on the market. And yes, we can produce more, and that's the reason why we're going to produce more and we're going to increase our inventory.
Okay, and just a final question. On price guidance, you talked about some erosion in price premium. Should we expect lower average pricing in the first half of the year versus the fourth quarter? And how does hydroxide versus carbonate mix play on that? Thank you.
Certainly, when I think about the difference between hydroxide and carbonate is the difference in between the margins for SKF. And that's what is important for us. And the margins are not so different in terms of what we are getting from different products. Certainly, at the beginning, the pricing of lithium hydroxide and lithium carbonate, mainly 2 years ago and some part of last year, was quite different. Not anymore, are more similar products in terms of the marketing and the way they are selling them in the product, and their margins are quite similar. It depends on the cost of production for us. As we explained during the conference call during last year, we had what we call this premium. The main explanation of this exceptional difference is related with the different commercial strategies. On the one hand, SKM sold its products mainly through spot pricing, and on the other hand, our main competitors mainly through long-term contracts agreed during the previous year. That explained the main difference. If we consider our main competitors' lithium average prices, their average prices in 2018 as the market price of the period, market price of 2018, we believe it is reasonable to project that the market price for 2018 will be similar or slightly higher than the average price of the year before, of this market price, that is the average price of our main competitors. In 2018, we do not expect important differences between our prices and the market average price. It means we don't expect this high premium pricing in SQM, and therefore we think that what we call the average market prices of the fourth quarter, it's the average prices of fourth quarter will be similar to the first quarter this year, considering the market price, the average prices of the main competitors in the market. It's important to consider that we do not follow in detail what is the China price. I know there's a lot of questions regarding what is the sales price of the lithium carbonate and lithium hydroxide inside China. We don't have reliable sources about the pricing in China, internally in China. We are not exporting now, as we speak, products to China. We don't know exactly the quality of the different products that is traded internally in China, but of course we compete with the lithium carbonate produced in China in different markets in the world, because most of the lithium produced in China is coming from the spodumene and from Australia. It means all these, not all, but most of the new projects and the current projects in Australia use the facilities in China to produce the lithium carbonate. That is the lithium that is exported from China and is always and also is the product that is sold in China. We compete all around the world with them, but we don't know internally in China a reliable source about the pricing. We don't have an answer about that. All the pricing that I already comment to you, everything is what we call ex-China situation.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Daniela Iger with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the question. Actually, I have two questions. The first, you mentioned that your main competitor uses actually long-term contracts, and that allows them to have like more stable pricing. Maybe in 2018, that wasn't a good way because it was actually lower than spot prices, but then again, they won't have much volatility in terms of prices. I just wanted to understand your strategy regarding long-term contracts. From what we have been hearing, OEMs are looking for long-term contracts given the potential supply gap that we should see in going forward in 2022, more or less. So just to understand your strategy regarding long-term contracts. And my second question is just on the heavy rains that you experienced in Chile. You mentioned that it shouldn't have a long-term impact, but just to understand, should we expect any impact on volumes in Q1? And that's it. Thank you.
Hi, Daniela. First, about the long-term contracts or not, first, let me say that I think today that our strategy, commercial strategy in 2018 was the right one. It was the right one because it's a starting market. It's difficult to know what is the long-term agreements. You need to understand the market before having these long-term agreements. Happens to be that it was very good in the economic point of view, this strategy for SQM, but not even considering the economic situation or the pricing that was good, I think was good to wait and see in order to start having these long-term agreements. We are more than open for long-term agreements. We are in different conversation with different clients and different potential buyers in the future to long-term agreements. Where, as we speak, we are doing so. Probably we will have significant long-term agreements in the near future? Yes, we will, and we are working on it as we speak. It's very important. I think that today we understand better, and our clients understand better the market, and we're in both sides in better positions to agree in the terms and conditions and in a very productive way for both sides for long-term agreements. And we're working on it now. I don't think it's a bad strategy. It's a different one, and it's the right moment to go ahead with the strategy, and we're working on it. About your question of the rain in the north, yes, there were significant rains in some of the areas of the north. We're working very hard to help all the communities close to SQM, and we have been very successful. I'm very proud about that, our people working with the communities, helping them. I'm very proud that our facilities were prepared for these kind of situations, either in the nitrates business and the Salar de Atacama. We have a very good preparation in our fixed assets and operations to have this kind of climate situation. I don't expect significant impacts in our production process. We have some issues. Of course, we stop our production during a week, maybe more in some areas, less than a week in other areas. The north of Chile is very big. We have different production facilities all around the north. These heavy rains were very focused in different areas. And yes, some production will be affected, but nothing that will affect our capacity to go to the market in the short term. Keep in mind our previous question regarding the spare capacity and inventory. We want to have, and we will have, flexibility in our main business. We have inventory of iodine, we have inventory of nitrates, we have a spare capacity for iodine, we have a spare capacity for nitrates. We have some inventories, I want to have more inventories of lithium, and we have some spare capacity, and I want to have more spare capacity in lithium market. This has been the historical strategy of SQM. It will continue to be our operational and business strategy in order to face our main markets.
That's perfect. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from Ben Isaacson with Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning. First question is on iodine. You talked about closing the fourth quarter at around $26 per kilogram. Can you talk about at what price does new supply start to come back into the market? Thanks.
Hi, Ben. I don't think that a significant amount of iodine went out of the market in the past. I think that if you consider all the different producers, they maintain the production, most of them. There's no big ones or important or significant ones that shut down their facilities. The reason why we're increasing volumes and the price is being increased is that the volume, the demand has been increasing. That's the most important issue here to consider, not the shutdown of other producers. The second situation you should consider is the cost of producing iodine. For most of our competitors, their cost is increasing. They don't have byproducts as we have. They don't have the economy scale as we have and the technology as we have. That's why cost is going up, I think. And the reason, the question here is not if they will come back to the market, some producers, because it's not relevant. What is relevant is the current producers, they will increase or not their capacity. And probably they will. And I don't think there's a clear price, a price that says in excess of this price, you will have more producers, or below this price, will you have a shutdown of some producers. I think it's more important to focus in the market, in the demand. I really focus now, more focus in the elasticity of the demand. We need to be very careful not to damage the long-term growth of the demand of iodine. If you have a strong iodine market growing, let's suppose 3.5% per year, it means close to 1,000 metric tons of additional iodine per year if you go to that direction. That's great. That's very good for us. What I don't want to do is to put the price in a way that some of the demand will be affected and the increase will be instead of 1,000, build 200 tons or 300 tons. That's why my most relevant point today is the elasticity of the demand. What I want to say is that we have been looking very hard and in detail about potential elasticity of the demand at different pricing. We think that today's price environment and the prices that we're working now during 2019, we think that we will face a very strong demand. That's my first statement. We think so. That's the most important issue we're facing, and we will continue to check this situation in the iodine market in the near future, of course.
That's great. Next question is on the potassium nitrate market. Can you just give an update in terms of what that market looks like right now? You talked about a bit of new supply coming on. What type of impact will that have? When does it come on? Who's bringing it? And what does that mean for you?
Yeah. As you may know, one of the main competitors, main producer of potassium nitrate in the world, is Haifa Chemicals in Israel. They have had in the past some issues regarding their production, some environmental issues, different issues. Probably you can check in the internet. There's a lot of information regarding the situation going on and or not in the Haifa production. We think that they are coming back in with some tonnage to the market as expected. There's nothing new about that. It's not additional production. It's recovered some of the production, even though we continue to estimate and believe that this year, 2019, we are going to increase our volumes in the specialty plant nutrition business. So our budget for this year is having an additional tonnage, is the same as we had last year, an additional tonnage. Probably in the last 3 or 4 years, we will continue the same trend. That's good. Pricing, we maintain a very healthy price environment. The only question mark in the pricing is the situation of the euro exchange rate in Europe. An important portion of our sales goes to Europe and countries related with the euro exchange rate. You know that today, nowadays, the exchange rate in Europe is not as good as what used to be 1 year ago. And in some way, this will affect our pricing in U.S. dollar in the euro. But that's one thing you have to consider in the specialty plant nutrients business. But the other thing that in some way affects this business is the price of the MOP. In the last few weeks, news of the MOP market is slightly better than expected in terms of pricing. That's good because if part is one of the main costs of production for potassium nitrate, that's why it will help us to maintain healthy price environment. About the solar source, it was a question about solar source or no? No? Okay, that's only potassium nitrate. Okay, that's it, Ben. Do you have any follow-up question?
No, that's helpful. Thank you so much.
Good thing.
The next question comes from Javier Martinez with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hola, Ricardo. Sorry to ask again about lithium, Ricardo, but I'm a little bit slow this morning. I want to make sure that I understood it well. So two questions. First of all, you mentioned in the release that the demand, you expect the demand to be growing more than 20%, and you say that your delivery will be just slightly higher. So that means that SQM will lose market share in 2019, right?
I want to be very clear that our main focus in the lithium market in the short term is not market share. It means market share is not an objective at all. We have a long-term strategy. If you think in the long term, and when I say long term, sorry, well, I'm thinking 2025. Why 2025? Because I strongly believe there's a fair chance and a significant, I expect that the demand in 2025 will be close to 1 million tons. If you consider that today 300,000 metric tons, we're talking about 700,000 metric tons of additional demand of lithium carbonate and lithium hydroxide, whatever, in the market in the next 6 years. That's a lot. And we have been preparing SQM to be ready to take a big portion of this and get the advantage of this additional demand. Of course, as you may know and everyone knows and we follow, we have some projects, and we know every single project. We study them, we follow them, the new projects, the ones that are the development and the ones that are the study of lithium carbonate, most of them in Australia. We follow those projects, and as expected, during this year and during next year, we will have some new projects, the projects that already know, going to the market with additional capacity. And at the end, you have in the short term, in the next 30 months, that's why I put the next 30 months, that's where we are going to have most of the new players going to the market, this balance between supply and demand. And this, I really prefer to be 10% of a 5 million tons market than being an 80% of a 500,000 metric tons market. It means market share is not my target. Volumes is my market in the long term. Margins is my target in the long term. And we are even better positioned today, in my opinion, in terms of my projections about competitors and my projections about the market, where I'm going to be in the 2025. Today, I'm more optimistic than what I used to be 1 year ago. And that's my target. Better volumes, strong increase in volumes, and having a strong increase in margins. If the market, instead of being 1 million tons, is 1.5 million tons, and we have a lot of newcomers, who cares? It means I don't care having 20% or 10% of the market share. It's not my target. It's not what I'm looking for. We're looking forward for margins. I'm looking forward for volumes. That's the one that we expect to have in the future.
Understood. That's clear. Ricardo, second question, please, if you don't mind. So you say that the premium you get versus competitors will converge. This is because your prices will go down. This is because competitor prices will go up to converge, or both?
I don't know what my competitors are doing in detail, but they, as far as I know, they say publicly that they expect prices for them to be similar or slightly higher. That I know they said something like that. And I think that it sounds reasonable considering the today market situation. It's my same expectation of the market. And I say you before, we had these additional premium prices in 2018, and I think that I will get more close to their pricing, our competitor prices, in 2019. Therefore, of course, my prices, as SQM pricing premium will decrease, the average SQM sales prices in 2019 will be lower than the year before. But keeping in mind, not because the price of the market itself is going down, it's mainly because SQM premium prices is not longer, I don't think it's reasonable to expect that we're going to have this additional pricing in 2019 for the reasons that I already explained during the conference. Thank you.
Very clear. Thank you, Ricardo.
The next question comes from Josh Falco with HSBC. Please go ahead.
That's all good. Listen, just following up on Javi's call on lithium. Sorry to keep following on lithium. But is there any problem when you guys announced the expansion and the fact that you couldn't get there? What is there anything to do in this premium going away? Is there anything to do with the purity, the quality? I know that there's a range of quality of material and where you can send and where you produce. But is there something to do with that? That's question number one. And question number two is, talking to some of your competitors, they say that there is a softness in the Chinese market. Does it mean that, this quote-unquote premium is a result of that market, but at least the spot market seems to be a little bit softer? Is that what you refer to, or it's something else? Thank you.
Ricardo, first about the first question, I have some doubts about the second question anyway, but let's go to the first question. As I explained before, the main reason of this premium price in the year 2018 as compared to our main competitors is related to this commercial strategy where we had this spot sale and they had this long-term contract. And that's the main reason. Of course, our geographical sales, our customer base is probably different. Customer base, it is different. Maybe it helps us to have this premium price, maybe. But again, I want to be very clear that I think that the most important reason was this different commercial strategy. This is the one. Second question, if I'm not wrong, because we had some connection problems with your call, is regarding the China situation, and I think I explained before that we're not selling in China. We don't have reliable information. We have a lot of information every day coming from China. People said that the price is whatever. I remember 1 year ago, some people said that in China, lithium was close to $30 per kilogram. I'm not even sure if it was true or not. We didn't sell at $30 lithium, not in China, nowhere. But now, of course, there are some people that say in China are selling very low pricing. But again, I'm selling as we speak lithium everywhere in the world. China can export the lithium everywhere in the world. That's why I think that it sounds strange for me that prices in China are so low, good quality pricing. If the price is so low, why they don't export this high quality lithium to other markets? I don't know. Means I don't know what kind of lithium they're trading these low prices that I don't know if are real low pricing. And I prefer that someone with a real experience on selling lithium in China can answer this question. I really cannot answer the question what's going on in the China internal pricing. I don't foresee any reasons to believe that the pricing that we expect today or what we are looking at the market today will be quite different in the near future. I don't have information in order to assure something like that.
That's super clear. Thank you.
This now concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Gerardo Yanez for any closing remarks.
Thank you. Thank you all very much for joining us today, and we hope to have you with us in the next conference call. Goodbye, everyone.
The conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.